Psalm 126. Well, I think the last few times I've preached, maybe about the last three or four times I've preached, I've been in the book of Psalms. So maybe one of these days the Lord will let me get out of there. I did finish reading it up a couple of days ago, so maybe I'll preach out of the Bible somewhere else. Psalm 126, as you find that, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 126. Let's do here a few pages turning, so I'll make sure everybody's ready before we start reading. Psalm 126, verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and allowing us to be in your house tonight with these folks. I pray, God, most of all, that you'd just meet with us and help us. We appreciate the good songs that's been sung tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are on the winning side. Thank you, Lord, that you've been faithful. And thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing in our church in recent days. I thank you for the good word of God that was preached this morning, how folks were helped. But Lord, this is a new day, another service, and God, we've already asked that you'd help us and guide us, but God, we need you. We'll never reach that point where we feel adequate to do that you've called us to do, and Lord, I recognize tonight that I must have your help. Lord, you know the need of each individual in this room. You know where each one stands with God. You know the walk that they have with you tonight, and I pray, God, that you'd just meet them at the point of their need. Lord, if there's one with us tonight that's never truly been saved, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would deal with their hearts and bring them to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd take these words. God, you'd anoint these lips of clay. You'd give me clarity of thought. And God, I ask for the touch of God as I try to preach tonight. I must have your help. And I pray that what's accomplished tonight, Lord, will bring honor and glory to your name. We'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Obviously, this psalm is titled a psalm or a song of degrees. Anytime you see that, it's a song of ascent. It's a psalm that they would sing as they would ascend to the holy place. They would sing it back and forth as they walked the trail going towards that temple. And obviously, as we look at this psalm, this is a psalm that took place shortly after Israel had been delivered from some sort of bondage. And I'll get into a little bit of that bondage later on. But as they walked to the temple and sang this song, they went back and they remembered in their minds something that the Lord had done for them. And boy, it's just wonderful in their hearts. It was as if they were dreaming. I remember last Monday morning, I came into the office and I called over into Brother Mark's office and I said, Brother Mark, did last night really happen or did we just have a dream? And it seemed like we were dreaming. It just seemed too good to be true what the Lord had done for us. Now, I don't know about you, but as I've served the Lord and local churches, been preaching many years, that as I go into the churches, I always want to see God move. There's things I'd like to see happen down at the house of God, and I hope you do too. I hope you're never satisfied with just coming, making your social acquaintance, and seeing people and going back home. As I come to the house of God, I want something from the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, I would settle for what we had last week every service. And I know that churches have their mountains. I know they have their valleys. I know we've got to have rainy days and we've got to have sunny days. You've got to have sunny days to make things grow and rainy days to make things grow. And it all works together. It can't always be like that. But there is a constant that we can have at the house of God. We never have to be dead and dry. I mean, there can always be that ongoing revival in our hearts and in our lives. And boy, I've got things that I pray for and things that I seek for down at the house of God. And as I look at this psalm and I think about how they said they were like them that dreamed. And I don't know about you, but I do have some things that I dream about and that I desire. I was thinking, Brother Mark was sitting on the front pew the other night, and I used Mark, one, because he's not here, but we talk. We're together. Every day, and he was praying for Brother Michael the other night, and he said I was dreaming, imagining what it'd be like if he just touched me on the shoulder and asked me to pray with him. And he said, and I raised up, and next thing I knew, he tapped me on the shoulder, and right there on the pew last Sunday night, God made his dream come true. But I'm going to steal a familiar phrase. It wasn't too many years ago in Washington, D.C., in the Civil Rights Movement, that Martin Luther King Jr. walked into Washington and gave his famous speech about having a dream. But I have a dream tonight. I have a dream for the local church, and I want to preach just a few minutes and give you a couple things that this, I believe this psalm has in our lives that can have us the right dreams and the right things to desire down at the house of God. I have a dream. First thing I want you to look at verse number 1 and verse number 4. I dream of a release for God's people and the children of God. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that dream. Verse 4, he said, turn our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. I don't know if you realize, I know that we're not Israel. Israel was obviously going through a time they'd been into captivity. This appears to be that captivity they were taken into in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 under King Zedekiah when God had gone as far as he would go. The Bible said, I was looking just a moment ago, when there was no remedy. The Chaldeans came in and they had no mercy at all. I mean, God allowed his judgment to come on Israel and let them go into bondage. If they were not going to follow him and give themselves to idols, they were going to pay the consequences for what was done. I believe that the adult class here and the adult class I'm in were in the book of Hosea in Sunday school, and we're dealing with how when that northern kingdom turned their back on God, they backslid. God chastised them by allowing them to go into captivity. And Israel went into this captivity. Now, you say, well, Brother Tim, you're talking about Israel. The scripture, right? But you know what? Israel is not the only people that can go into captivity. I'm glad that on my standing with God as far as being a saved man or a lost man, on January the 5th, 1986, that God set me free once and for all. I'll never go into that bondage again. But as we walk through our Christian life, there's things that happen to us, and not just, I'm not saying necessarily events, but we go through changes, and we just, something happens, and suddenly we're not as close as we used to be. Now, do you remember when you first got saved, or do you remember a time in your life when you made a move for God and boy, you felt the presence of God? It was as if it radiated off your life. I mean, everywhere you went, you felt like you had a spring in your step. Every conversation that you had with somebody, somewhere in that conversation was involved telling them about what God had done for you. And you just couldn't help but say, somewhere you just had to say, boy, God sure is good. I sure do love Jesus. You felt that glory in your soul. You felt that in your life. But somewhere down through the years, somewhere something's happened and that's been robbed out of your heart, and you've not had that relationship with the Lord like you should, and you found yourself, God's not judged you like he did Israel, but you found yourself in a bondage that you just can't quite get loose from. Now when you come to the house of God, you just go through the motions. When the choir sings the wind inside, yeah, you hit the notes, you sit there and you watch, but when you think, it just doesn't touch your heart like it did in yesterday. It's just not like it used to be. And what's happened, you've allowed yourself to go back, go into that bondage. You're not lost. You're as saved as you've ever been. You're as saved as you'll ever be. I mean, you're as good as in heaven as far as that goes, but you're bound. You don't have that liberty in your life. It's just a fight and a struggle just to come to the house of God. It's a fight and a struggle just to open up the Word of God. You're in bondage to your flesh, in bondage to your desires, and in bondage to those things that hold and grip your life. And that's what happened to Israel. But I want to tell you something. If there's a bondage in this verse, he said, turn us. He said, when God turned the captivity of Israel, I'm glad that there is relief. I said, a dream of a release down at the house of God. I love seeing when God touches the hearts of his people. You know, God did set Israel free. Because you know, when the Chaldeans came and they took Israel, boy, the Chaldeans were some of the merciless and ruthless people history has ever known. And God used them to judge Israel, but they were so ruthless, God in turn judged them for what they'd done to Israel. And some 70 years, well, it was less than 70 years later, a country, the Medes and the Persians came. You'll be familiar with this story when it happened. You remember Daniel chapter 5 when Belshazzar threw his big party and the hand came out and it wrote on the wall. You're familiar with that.
And he called in Daniel to tell him what that handwriting meant. Basically what it said, you're found, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting, and told Belshazzar, this night the kingdom will be taken from you. And that night, I believe it was Darius and the king of the Medes and that Persian Empire came and they took that kingdom from the Medes and the Persians. Well, they took control. Darius took leadership. You'll know Darius in Daniel chapter 6. He was the one that got suckered into making that decree that if anybody prayed to anybody but him, they'd be thrown into the den of lions. You remember that? And of course, that happened to Daniel, but boy, God shut the mouth of the lions that night, and they didn't even touch Daniel. Daniel used them for a pillow. I mean, whatever you want to say there, but anyway, God delivered Daniel while he was in the den of lions, and he came out, and God did a work in Darius' heart. Well, after Darius had made his decree, I assume that Cyrus was his son. Cyrus was one that was prophesied 150 years before Israel ever went into captivity that he would be the one that would allow Israel to go back and build the temple and build the walls of Jerusalem one more time. That's what the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah are about. But God let them come out of that captivity, and they said, being in that captivity, it didn't mean something to them. Hey, we've been released one more time. We can go to the house of God. Hey, I was thinking this afternoon when I was praying, I mentioned a little bit to the choir and some of it when I was making announcements about people that I know and see regularly that just, they can't come to church. They have physical needs of their own or their physical needs of somebody else. They want to come to God's house, but they can't come. But thank God we can be at God's house. You got to come in and sing in the choir tonight, and you got to sit here and listen to the choir, and you get to be around God's people. Boy, how could we not sing a song as we come to the house of God and rejoice that we've been free? That's how they felt and what they did. But I'm glad God not only would liberate Israel, but he'll liberate you, child of God. You don't have to walk in bondage. Hey, remember, he told us in Galatians 5:1 to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He warned us in Hebrews 12:1 to run that race and beware. I'm misquoting this, but and lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. That beset is like something that wrap around your feet and entangle you. It's possible for you to be entangled and in captivity, but thank God it's possible for you, child of God, to walk in victory and walk in liberty and walk in freedom tonight. Now, some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate, but I want to tell you tonight, upon the authority of the Word of God, there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk around defeated all the time. You don't have to give into that sin temptation all the time. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, hey, he took care of that. He paid the sin debt, and he moved inside of you, and there's somebody living in you in the person of the Holy Ghost that's bigger than any temptation you'll ever face. That's bigger than any battle you'll ever fight. Thank God there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to set the captives free. I'll say again, I'm glad that he just didn't liberate me as being a hardened sinner, but I am a liberated, praise God, child of God tonight. But I dream of that release down at the house of God. I dream of people having victory. When they sing victory in Jesus, it means something to them. I dream of that sweet release, but there's something else here I want you to see in this chapter. I dream of rejoicing. He said in verse 2, at the end of verse 1, he said we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I dream of rejoicing. I don't know about you, but I like seeing people get excited in the Lord. Last Sunday night, when people were shouting, that don't bother me. Don't make me uncomfortable. I say it like this. You can jump as high as you want to, just as long as you land on your feet, walk straight, speak English, and spit white. Amen? Don't bother me at all. And I praise the Lord for it. I like it when it gets on people. I like it when they just can't help it. And that's good down at the house of God. I believe that salty Christianity. I mean, I want to be a salty Christian, man. I want to have that type of life. And I've seen people have it where I get around people and just have something on me, have a joy in my soul that people just kind of, I'd like a little bit of what he's got. And I'm glad Jesus will give it out. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. But you know, we rejoice. What made them rejoice? He said in that verse, he said, then was our mouth filled with laughter. I like to laugh. What happened? They got their joy back. Boy, don't it get old going around with pooch mouth. Don't it get old going around with bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart all the time. Don't it get, man, I don't like being miserable. I don't like being depressed, but I thank God there is joy in the Lord. Hey, David said in Psalm 122, if you look back a little bit, God gave him his gladness back, and he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hey, how long has it been since you've been glad about anything that had to do with the things of God? How long has it been? I'm spitting all over myself, foaming at the mouth. How long has it been since the songs of Zion were being sung? And man, it just put joy in your heart. Do you have joy in your heart? Hey, you believe you can have joy in your heart? Have you ever had joy in your heart? Hey, that author knew what they was writing when they were writing the little children's song when they started saying, I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And it's not just in my heart. Once in a while it goes to bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in my soul. Hey, it's available tonight. Amen. But then we get our joy back. We rejoice when we get our song back. They said our tongue was filled with singing. Now see, it was obvious they'd lost their song. If you turn a couple pages over to Psalm 137, this tells a little bit about the bondage they were in. Psalm 137 verse 1, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. That's the holy city, Jerusalem. Said we hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4 says, how shall we sing this king's song? I'm sorry, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? See, the people of Israel were known for their music. It used to be the way down to the house of God. I mean, boy, people down at the house of God used to know how to do the harmony and do the parts, and we try to work on that in the choir and work on that with folks, but down at the church, boy, they knew people down there can sing. They had these guys. I'm sorry, Carol, I'm messing with my buttons. But they used to have these people. Your wife ever get on? You know, well, I started, I don't see many preachers here, but couple of you here, your wife gets on when you mess with something. But anyway, they see you done messed me up. Tell them I'm preaching, woman. But they were known for their music. But we've lost that. But you know, they wanted them to sing a song. They knew that, boy, those people of Israel, when they worship. You remember that queen of Sheba when she came and saw Solomon. She saw Solomon, saw all those people singing, all that worship going on. Boy, she swooned on the inside when she heard that music. It was wonderful. But well, what's happened now at the house of God? We've lost our music. They lost their music. We've got no song in our heart. Boy, thank God when he came by and he took the captivity away, suddenly that song that he put in your heart when he saved you. Remember the Bible said he took me up out of the horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, put a song in my heart, established my goings. Hey, what was the first thing they did when they crossed the Red Sea there when God brought them out of Egypt? Man, they broke forth in song. How long's it been since you've been able to break forth in a song? I'm glad, boy, that's something a child of God can have in their heart. They can have that song of rejoicing and praise in their heart. Hey, I dream of a day when it's not a drudgery to sing. I dream when we can't help but to have joy, when we can't help but smile, and we can't help but just to sing with all our heart and all of our soul about what God's done for us. But you know, when we rejoice, I dream of that day when we get our testimony back. He said later in that verse, he said, the heathen, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Well, how long has it been since a lost man's been able to look at your life and say, man, that guy's got something. Boy, that crowd over there's got it going on. I know a boy, he went to church over there. He cussed like a sailor. He as wicked as I was. You know, he don't cuss no more. He don't drink no more. He don't step out on his wife no more. He's putting money in the offering plate. He goes down to the house of God. Well, I went down there one day, they're singing a song, and he's waving his hand and shouting a victory about what God does. Every time you talk to him, he's trying to get you to come to church or tell you what the Lord's done for him. Boy, God does that. He puts that in a man's heart. Hey, we don't. You know what the church's testimony is anymore? Boy, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. They're just like me. If that man's a preacher, the woods is full of them. Boy, we've got no testimony. Why? We're in captivity. We're in bondage. We've got no joy. We've got no song. We've got no testimony with the world. Now listen, I'm not talking about just testimony because of a righteous living. I'm talking about a something in their heart. Hey, a lost man can imitate a dress code. He can imitate a bunch of rules and standards, but he cannot imitate the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But then we get our testimony back, but we rejoice when we get our praise back. I mean, man, they could not help but praise the Lord. I was talking about shouting and rejoicing a while ago. Hey, verse 3, all they could say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I tell you what, we need to make a habit of praising the Lord. Now you say, well, Brother Tim, how do you praise the Lord? I tell you what, I know how not to. How do you praise the Lord? Hey, it starts in private. It starts in your house. I always tell people, you know, anything you want to be good at, you've got to practice on your own. If somebody wants to be good in golf, they're going to have to get out in the backyard, put them a rug down. Don't beat your grace up. Put a rug down and practice chipping into something or practice swinging that club or practice making contact. Get you a little something you can put into it. You practice. That way when you get out on the course with everybody else, you got an idea what's going on. These boys want to be good in basketball, man. They got to stand there and work on the left hand, on the right hand. They got to work on dribbling and work on that jump shot and make sure everything's squaring or making the gooseneck on that release. You got to practice that. Child of God, do you think it doesn't work that way with being a Christian? You ever heard this expression? Practice what you preach. Hey, have you ever tried taking what you get here on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night? Tried taking it home with you and putting it into practice? Hey, how long has it been since on your own and by yourself you've took that moment in the Word of God and got down by yourself and said, Lord, I just want to thank you. It's been a while. I want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you for being good to me. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for my church. I want to thank you, man. You just thank and praise God. Hey, put that to practice. I want to tell you something. You want something to make a difference in your life? You start putting that praise on God and what He's going to start doing. He's going to start getting bigger to you. And as He gets bigger to you, He's going to start looking bigger to everybody else. What a difference it makes. Our problem is we've kept praising Him. We've brought God down to our level. He's not big anymore. Hey, but let us be like John the Baptist. Let's let us get small and make Him great big in our lives. And then when He gets big, boy, Lord, you're good. That's just simple country boy vernacular, but I believe you understand that. Get a praise back. I dream of that release, and I dream of that rejoicing. Man, people being happy. Hey, I have been in church where people couldn't wait to get to church on Sunday night just wondering what the Lord was going to do. I've seen church days where people were trying to get people to come to church and couldn't wait till Sunday morning when their brother, sister, their friend was coming because they might get saved that morning. They couldn't handle the excitement. It overwhelmed their soul. That can happen. One more time. I dream of that release. I dream of rejoicing. But I dream of a day of reaping. The Bible says in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, the ultimate goal of the church and the children of God, two things. Obviously, one, that Christ can live his life through you. But the other ultimate goal would be for God, his will, is to reveal himself to you so that he can reveal himself to the world through you. You realize that? God chose. Hey, God did not choose for dogs to put out the gospel. He didn't choose to bark the gospel. He didn't choose for a bird to tweak the gospel. He didn't choose for a chicken to cluck the gospel or a duck to quack the gospel. He chose for us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I dream of a time of reaping. If we want to reap, one, we've got to follow the command. He said, he that goeth. There's no reaping if there's no going. You realize we have that command in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now let me put this, interject this right here. I know that this, if Preacher Stewart has his soapbox, this is it. I mean, he preaches about telling people about Jesus. And boy, I tell you, this is something I've been praying about in my life. I've been thinking about something over the last couple of days and what's the difference when people have a false profession, when people have a real profession of salvation or life somewhere. when I was a teenage boy, I mean, I made professions, but boy, somewhere, some way in the late days of 1985 and the early days of 1986, that need and knowledge of salvation went from a head knowledge to it got to be a heart desire and desperate need. And at that point was when I got saved. Now, having said that, everything that makes a difference in your life follows the same process. Everything that's had that life-changing effect in your life started with the knowledge, I need to do this. But somewhere, God worked that thing in your heart and it became a desire to do that thing from your heart. Now, we all know that if somebody does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if they try to get there any other way, if they die lost, they go to hell forever. We know that. And we believe that. I mean, no doubt at all. But yet to go out and try to make an impact on that, we do very little. Why? Because the knowledge stopped here and the burden never got here. But we've got to go, but we've got to bear the burden. He said, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Why? I'm thinking of the name. Preached here in a meeting with us a little while. Craig Edwards wrote a song one time. Y'all know the song that he wrote about God answered your prayer there in heaven now. But he wrote another song titled, How Long Has It Been Since You Wept for a Soul? Boy, we weep for our children when they're sick and we weep over a lot of things, but how long has it been since that need of someone that you love or you care about or just somebody you know has reached so deep into your heart? It's squeezed out your eyes. It's caused you to lose your appetite. It's caused you to walk away from something else and find yourself a prayer closet. Lord, just say, Lord, for just a little while, they're going to go to hell without you, God. They need you, and you are so broken and burdened over them that nothing else will matter but them being saved. Have you ever had that burden in your heart? Hey, I'm dreaming of a day that we'll reap because we've got a burden. We've got to get them to Jesus. But he, if you're going to reap, you've got to tell the story. He said, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed will doubtless come again. Bearing precious seed. We support a ministry named Bearing Precious Seed. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to be witnesses. You know what? They were witnesses in their lives when the heathen saw that they'd come out of captivity. Hey, they were witnesses when they just said themselves, the Lord hath done great things for us. They just gave testimony of what the Lord had done. But somewhere that's that time when you just actually share the truth with somebody. You'd be amazed what people are counting on to get them to heaven. Hey, you'd be amazed. A friend of mine was telling me the other day that he was trying to talk to his neighbor and invited him to church. He just asked him, if you die, you're going to heaven. He said, yeah, I believe I will. He said, well, what do you base that on? What scripture do you use? He said, well, I don't know nothing about the Bible. He had just come to the point in his mind where he decided that God would just accept him. I was talking to my son about a young man he knew the other day that was doubting his salvation. And I said, well, Michael, what's the boy basing on? He said, he's got nothing to base it on. He just decided that he might be saved. Somewhere, somebody's got to tell him the truth. Somewhere, we've got to bring him a place down at the house of God where they hear. So, Brother Tim, I'm not good at explaining it. Well, praise God, Preacher Stewart can shut the cord. Hey, there's some Sunday school teachers here that can cut it straight and let them hear and understand. They need to hear the truth. Somebody has got to tell and put the answer in their hand. But whoa, they don't just go forth and tell, but they got to go forth and believe. You know, I've asked people before, why don't you pray? Or why don't you do this? Why don't you witness? Because you don't believe that God will do the work through that witness. I want to hear what God said. Let me read you this verse I found in the Bible. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Bible puts a promise there. Hey, keep baiting the hook, keep throwing it out there. You guys that fish, you never throw under a tree branch or something one time. Man, you throw under there three or four times, and you'll try jerk bait, or you'll try a rubber worm, or whatever, or a spinner bait. You'll try two or three different things. That's a hole where there's a fish. I want to put something in there that they'll bite. Hey, the Bible said that we'd be fishers of men. Now, I encourage you, keep letting the track down. Keep inviting them to church. Man, when God gives you that green light to present the gospel to them, don't back down. Give them the truth of the Word of God, what it means to be saved. And He said, "He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless." Now, I'm not a theologian, but I have a little bit of idea what doubtless means. You might as well say, "He will, absolute fact, come again with rejoicing, bringing His seeds with Him." Hey, Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." God gave promises about His Word. Isaiah 55:11, He said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You know, as you go through life, you've got to set some goals. You've got to set some marks. You try to encourage your children to participate in things and to try to excel in things so they'll excel in life. You want them to succeed in life. But I want to tell you what, if you never set a mark, that's the very mark that you'll hit. I want to encourage you, don't be satisfied with just going through the motions. "Well, I've come to church, I've done my thing, that'll hold me over to Wednesday night, or that'll hold me over to next Sunday school or next preaching time whenever you come back." And just go through the motions. Hey, I want more than that. I dream of so much more. And I pray tonight that God will put in your heart, there's more of what we had the other night. It's happened before. It can happen again. But man, we need some people that will dream. We need some people that will start going before God and trusting God with some things and believing God for some things. We need some people to let God set them free. Because see, this rejoicing happens to free people. Reaping happens to free people. How are things with you and God tonight? Have you still got that joy in your heart? Have you lost that joy? Have you lost that first love? I want to tell you, there's freedom. You can walk away from that bondage tonight on the authority of the Word of God. You can do that. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Jeff's going to come get us a song tonight. I know many of you are weary. I know Sundays get long. But boy, I want you to think about tonight. What are you dreaming about down at your church? What are you dreaming about for your life? I mean, you want anything from God. I encourage you. How's your relationship? Are you free tonight? Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a place down here in this altar. There might have been a time you were right with God. There might have been a time you served God. It may be that you're here tonight, you're just completely backslid. You're just here. Can I tell you, there's a liberator that'll meet you at the altar tonight. He'll cleanse you, and He'll turn you loose. And one more time in your life, you can know that joy, and you can know that power. Boy, that's a happy day. That's a glad day. There's not a more miserable day than a day spent away from God. But what a glad day it is when your day's spent with the Lord, His joy and strength. Father, I pray You'd take the Word tonight. Sometimes I just can't put into words what's in my heart. But God, I feel like there's people in this church tonight, Lord, not in judgment, but just in burden. But Lord, they've known great days in Christianity. And Lord, they've grown cold and calloused on God. And Lord, they're going to sit by while You move, and they're going to miss out, Lord. I pray that You'd set them free. Help them not to be like these in Israel there wasn't a remedy for. God, I'm glad there's a remedy at Calvary for these. I pray, oh God, You'd touch their heart and help them to come to You. We'll praise You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.